Hey guys, welcome to the Challenge Podcast. I'm Coach Steve.
And I'm Coach Nick, and we're going to be talking about everything fitness, health, and the challenge.
Let's get on with the show.
Welcome to another episode of the Challenge Podcast, everyone. I'm Coach Nick, and today I am here with one of the Maxine's top 10 finalists from the May Challenge, Tamara Hunter. How are you going, Tamara?
I'm good, Coach Nick. Thanks for having me.
No problems. How's everything going in WA?
Really good. Sorry, I've got a little bit of survivor guilt. I feel a bit guilty about saying that the sun is out and we are out and about, but no, WA is good. We are fine.
Well, yeah, we have a lot of WA challenges, so they're going to be really inspired by your journey as we hear about it today. So you're now flying the flag for everyone.
God, no pressure.
No pressure, but you need to now, you know, step right on up and we can talk about all of that. But so just tell me a bit about yourself. Tell us all, you know, a bit about your background and, you know, your work, where you're from and your family, just everything. Tell me a bit.
Okay, all right. So I'm 47 years of age. I live in Perth, WA. I'm a mama. And I've got two beautiful girls, 6 and 10 years of age. We all live very active lives, very full lives, everything from sport to sort of music, singing, dancing. I'm running around a lot after them. I'm a wife. I've got a very, very tolerant and supportive husband. He calls himself my utility player. He's an ex-footballer, so he reckons he's my utility player. I'm a doctor, but that's not actually where I started. I was actually an exercise physiologist. Then I retrained in medicine at the age of 25, completed basic training, went on and became an obstetrician gynecologist, and then decided to take it one step further. And I now work in reproductive endocrinology and infertility. So I do a lot of fertility medicine. I've got two fertility practices here in Perth that I run between. And we also just last year launched a multidisciplinary women's health centre, and it's just going gangbusters at the moment. So I lead a really chaotic and frenetic life. Some days I feel like I'm doing a bit of an average job at just about everything. I think a lot of mums feel that way. Some days I'm really like nailing it and some days I feel like just rocking in the corner and can't wait to go to bed. So it varies day to day, but I sure you know that, Nick, we're all mummy jugglers at heart.
100% can relate. Like when something goes really well in one area, it's often you're sometimes thinking like feeling like you're compromising another area, but we want to do everything and we can do everything and we just got to keep doing it because it all adds up eventually. And I just don't want to ever get to the end of my life and think that I've missed out on something. It sounds like you're the same. Just get out there and do it.
Yeah. Every opportunity.
Yeah. So much to unpack. I don't want to harp on about your actual job, but I can absolutely assure you that there'd be heaps of women in the challenge that have faced fertility issues and things like that. So we might have a little bit of a chat about that track, because I think that anybody that actually has any knowledge about that would be so helpful to our listener base, even just to have a bit of a chat about anything around that. But the thing is also that the fact that you managed to get into the top 10 in terms of just really transform yourself with all of that stuff going on, plus all the uncertainty of everything, even though WA is a little bit exempt from it all. But just the way of the world at the moment is that everything feels a little bit uncertain. So I'd really like to hear about how you changed everything for yourself, or what made you decide, what was that tipping point that made you decide to go that next level?
Yeah, well, I guess, like everyone, 2020 really rocked us. Couldn't work in elective surgery at all. A lot of our IVF shut down. There was the stress of starting new business in the middle of COVID, and that was really big for us. And then I was helping my kids through the stress and anxiety of sort of dealing with COVID, learning about what that was, online learning, and just all of those rolling shutdowns were just really, really huge. And then I was also at the age of 45, rather rudely thrust into perimenopause. And I was dealing with a lot of physical change, mental change, emotional change, but like many women, I was just coping. And I felt kind of like that serene duck across the water where everything looks fantastic and nice and calm and graceful. And then under the water, my legs were going just a million miles an hour. So that was kind of 2020 for us. And so 2021 was going to be my year. We were going to be flying. Everything was going to go back to normal. And I was hitting New Year's Eve really hard. And then on New Year's Day, my mum rang me to wish us Happy New Year. And she just casually mentioned that she had had an episode of chest pain overnight. Mm. And that had left her sitting in the chair for a number of hours. So, of course, put my doctor hat on, kind of panicked a little bit, and I rushed her into hospital thinking, oh gosh, she's having a heart attack. Mm. What that actually led to was a chain of events over weeks in January. And the long story short is that by the end of January, this beautiful, healthy, vibrant 75-year-old woman was diagnosed with pancreatic cancer.
Oh gosh.
And she had the vast majority of her upper gastrointestinal tract removed in some really big surgery. And our entire world just turned upside down. So here am I in February of this year, running my business, juggling my family. But now I'm running daily visits to the hospital, supporting my girls in helping them to understand cancer, helping my dad learn how to be a carer, visiting oncologists, doing my own research, and also just trying to come to grips with my own grief around how life, as I knew it, was changed forever. Mm. And yeah, I'm a doctor, but first and foremost, I'm a human. Yeah. And I'm a daughter, and my entire world was just crashing. And so, like a lot of people, I just started to treat my pain. Every afternoon I'd come home from work and it was 1 o'clock.
Yep.
I was treating my pain with food. I was comfort snacking, or I was just avoiding food altogether. I gave up my exercise. That had always been my thing, but I was just, in my mind, too busy with everything else going on. I wasn't sleeping and life was just spiraling down.
Yeah.
Now, I've been involved in health and wellbeing for 25 years, more than 25 years. I taught my first aerobics class at the age of 17. So I know about looking after the temple. I know I preached it for years. And when I hit rock bottom in April of 2020, that little voice inside my head just started to speak up. It was saying, Tamara, if you want something to change, then you're actually going to have to change. And literally, Nick, whether you call it divine intervention or whatever you call it, Facebook tossed Maxine's challenge on my feet.
Wow.
Yeah. Woo. Yeah. And yeah, I know. Spine tingling. But, and here's the thing, before I had a chance to second guess myself, mm-hmm. I just filled out that application form, pulled out my credit card, and I just pressed send.
Oh my gosh.
I just did it.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm. And the thing I really know is that, and here's the thing, Tony Robbins, I don't know if you know who Tony Robbins is, but he talks about two really great drivers for humans. And the first drive that we have is towards our passion. We will, as humans, do anything if it moves us towards our passion. Mm. I mean, that's why I'm in medicine, because I love it every single day. That's why you do what you do. You love it.
Yeah.
But the second, and I think the more powerful driver, is our desire to just get away from pain. And I was in so much pain, mentally, physically, socially, emotionally. I was just spent. I had nothing to give anyone, even my children. And I just needed that circuit breaker. I had to flick the switch.
Yep.
So I did.
Yeah. I do know his stuff. And he does say that the catalyst for change is really when it is intolerable anymore. And that's sounds like what you got to, where it's just, it's not sustainable anymore. And that's enough for you to go, I've got to change. Yeah, something's got to change here. And then from there on, your old habits probably would have, did they come back quite quickly, the good stuff?
Yeah, I think they did. What was really interesting about that process is that as soon as I pressed send, all the hesitations flooded in. Like I could hear the other voice. My daughter calls this voice Nunu Negative. But the voice came in and it was like, you don't have time for this. You already get up early enough. You already have no time in the day. You're going to starve yourself and you're going to drift back into body dysmorphia. You've got too many on-call shifts at work to make any discipline out of this. You're going to get big, like that voice. You're going to get really big, or you're going to hurt yourself and then you won't, like everything
there could be.
Yeah. But I knew that I was the only one that was going to be able to get myself out of this hole. No one was going to save me except me.
That's very powerful. That's very powerful. It's sort of like things can come, and it's a very good point for newbies to the challenge that think that by signing up, something's going to change, or by getting a template, it's like, this isn't what I'm used to. This isn't what I want, so it's not going to work. Or day one, something happened to me and it's not going to work. And it's sort of like you've actually got to make that shift within yourself and actually, yeah, realize that nobody is coming to save you. And also even getting brilliant results such as your, like you did, that isn't even really savior. That's just the first step of the journey of then continuing on forever.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Totally. And I think you're partway along this journey and you start to use that verbiage. Like a lot of people, I think that there's this before and after. You do your before photo, you do your after photo, and that's it.
Yes.
But this is one entire journey. And I know you and Steve talk about it all the time, and I'm sort of sitting in my car or doing my steps or out there on the hitting the pavement. I'm thinking that's so true. This is just part of the journey of the entirety of life. It's just how you choose to live it.
Exactly. And there's not one particular answer. And I think Steve and I really strongly believe in that, the fact that everybody needs to be able to arrive at the place in their own way and understand that it is a lifelong thing. So we're just trying to give people ultimately tools to tackle their life and to be as healthy as they can be, but then also get some pure joy out of what can happen to their physique once they start to understand that it's all a process. And if you have a slip up or something like that, it's not the end of the world. Just don't live there. And sometimes a slip up can be, sometimes it can be months. Like if you're in a place where you were in that place, sometimes it can be a long time, but it's like one step at a time, you can sort of reverse that and come out of it as you did. You know?
Yeah. Look, I truly believe that you're perfect in your imperfection. Like if we were all perfect, then we wouldn't be doing this because we'd be perfect.
Yeah.
So by virtue of the fact that we've all got improvements to make and we've all got further distances that we can go or heavier weights that we can lift or longer training sessions or better tweaks to the nutritional plan, by virtue of that means we're constantly moving forward and growing, and that's life. It's brilliant. This is such a brilliant lesson for life.
It's a microcosm of what goes on in life, really. If you can get this under control, it just helps you with other areas and it kind of bleeds out to other areas. And you can see that with people on the Facebook page where they start off slow and then they start to share their journey a little bit more, and then you see the confidence growing. You can imagine then what that will do to their family and the people around.
Definitely.
And,
yeah.
You know, I always say to anyone who's had success within a fitness journey and is then sort of out there in the public, I feel like it's almost our duty to then sort of pay it forward in a way and help others to understand the process of it all. And that it's not super complicated, is it? Once you understand it, it's just whatever you're bringing to the plate that you need to unpack and dismantle, if that makes
sense. And I love the way it's like a little secret. You know, I love the way you just slowly get the reveal. Like you get that this is more than just going to the gym and eating well. This is, as you said, how this transpires into your relationships with your partners, with your kids, how you might just become a better leader in the workplace or just a better servant-hearted person in the world. What this starts off as is so simple, but it becomes so much more than that.
Did you find at work people were interested in what you were doing as well, or did you keep it a bit quiet?
No, I told everyone because it was part of my accountability. Yeah. I'm one of those people. Ultimate sharer. I guess in a way in my work life, there is a certain amount of privacy that's kind of demanded, but to all of my workmates, friends, family, I was like, yeah, I'm doing this. And I had some detractors. I had people saying, oh, you're already thin enough. Yeah. You don't need to do that anymore. There was, again, no negative in my head just saying, see, you don't need to do this. But then my daughter's other voice is Princess Positive, and it's like, no, you're doing this for a greater purpose than just the physical. This is about being that circuit breaker for you to get life back on track.
Exactly. And the thing is, as women, I do believe that it still hasn't quite come to the point where we are allowed to just own our physicality, especially if we say, I want to be better, or in my own version of better than this, and people go, wait a minute, you're already great. It's like, well, okay, but I want more. And yeah, that's okay.
That's it.
We're allowed to want more no matter what we look like, no matter what's going on, no matter who says what. We are allowed to want what we want. And until that is accepted, we're going to have little arguments and little positives and negatives in our head and go, ooh, am I allowed to put my abs on Instagram? Is someone going to hate that? You know, that kind of thing. And it's like, well,
yeah.
I think ultimately we deserve to be, or whoever deserves to be, proud of their journey in whatever way. And I think with people that are a bit sort of possibly negative about it, it's usually a reflection on what they're not necessarily doing.
Yeah. Absolutely. I was about to say, everybody brings their own stuff to the conversation. And as long as we understand that, then we won't get sucked into that. I think that's really important, that everybody has their own agendas. Yep. Just make sure we keep true to our own.
Yeah, because it's usually whatever someone says is usually generally about them, not about you. So, but you get that, and that's why you sort of, well, you managed to get into, I keep saying the top 10, but the thing is, it's what it really is you managed to just achieve pretty much everything that you could do in the 12 weeks. That's pretty awesome. What was your biggest challenge, would you say, in the challenge, like within it?
Yeah. So I guess along this same theme, totally mindset, 100%. It was all about the mindset for me. I felt that I had every excuse in the book: the time, the kids, the work, the family, my mum's illness. I also thought that I kind of knew this stuff. Like I said, you know, been in the industry or around the periphery of it for a really long time. So there's that voice in my head: they can't teach me anything. Nothing's worked before. So why would this? So I had all of that going on in my head. So I decided in prep week. So yeah, I was reading and learning about the templates and the workouts and so on, but I actually made the decision in prep week. I was going to challenge every single one of those excuses and roadblocks and prove it to the no negative in my head that there is always a solution to a problem.
Wow.
So for me to get exercise in, yes, I'm really time poor. I'm sure plenty of people are, but I worked out that it had to be at 5 a.m. no matter what. I had to get up at 4:40, which meant that I had to go to bed by 9:30 at night to aim for my 7 hours of sleep. So I just pre-planned that. Meal prep for me was always going to be a challenge. And so I just had to master the meal prep. And did I slip up occasionally? Absolutely. Yeah. But that was kind of right. This is the solution to the problem. Prior preparation prevents poor performance. So I just had to be super disciplined in that space. As I said, accountability. I was just telling everybody. I had to get buy-in from my family. So it actually wasn't just my 12-week challenge. It was my entire family. So my kids bought into it. My husband bought into it. I got their permission. We set ourselves a reward at the end of it. We were just going to our favorite place for dinner. That would be at the end of it. So we had this reward to work towards. And they were just my cheerleaders the entire way. My girls would take my photos for me each week. They would help with, it was beautiful. They would help with their food prep. My little six-year-old, she did all the burpee tests and the push-ups and the sit-ups. She'd be timing them. So it was our family's 12-week journey. And I think the other thing was I learned to tap into my superpowers again. Like, everybody has superpowers. You've just got to figure out what they are. And for me, I have a really good internal locus of control. Mm-hmm. Like, I have supreme discipline when I want to. I'm really good at following a plan and executing it. And I just had to tap into that superpower. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you have to have a good, strong internal locus of control. You could be all about the external. You could rely on a lot of external cheerleaders to help you achieve things. That's okay, but lean into that.
Yeah, get so in place.
If you need to have everyone at work and everyone at home and in your friendship group totally egging you on to get this done, then just put those things in place. So I really harnessed my superpowers and I went for it. And I think the last thing is that I actually learned to trust the process. And that was really quite hard for me because I'm reasonably well educated. I certainly think I've got a moderate amount of knowledge in this space. And I'm like, well, I haven't been able to do it for myself before, so why should this plan? And I had to just, again, keep saying to that voice, just trust the process. Just trust the process, follow the plan, do everything in the template, just step it out. And it did. It paid dividends.
Well, I'd love to know, if you can remember off the top of your head, what was something that you thought, oh, I don't like what they're telling me to do there. That's not going to work for me. But then later on, your mind changed. Can you think of anything?
Yeah. So definitely weights work. I've been a group fitness person forever, taught aerobics well before the group fitness classes even existed. We were freestyle back in the 80s.
I'm freestyle too. Very much freestyle trained with everything. It's a good thing though. It just means that you can.
It's great.
You can put things together yourself. You don't have to follow.
So I've been doing, I suppose over the last 3 years, I had been dabbling in some weights work. I have a fantastic PT that I touch base with occasionally, though she wasn't part of my 12-week journey. But I had kind of dabbled in weights, but I always had that voice in the back of my head say, oh, you're just going to get really big.
Yeah.
You're just going to get really muscled and that's not what you wanted. And so I had to really just hand it over and go, no, the eating plan will serve its purpose. The weights work, the program they've designed will serve its purpose. And it did.
I love that. That's the best. I love it, love it, love it. Because my goals are, like, I want to be ripped and a total beast. So it's taken me 20 years to get to this and like with muscle. And I don't even look that muscular necessarily unless I flip. Yeah. So it's like, for people that don't want to, you think you're going to be okay. All it does is it really just helps your physique and it actually gives you more energy, doesn't it? Rather than all those.
Totally. And I do. I've got muscles. Like, I'm sure they might have been there, but I feel better. I just feel stronger physically.
Yeah.
And I just have a greater appreciation for the human body. Like, it's an insane piece of machinery that we have.
I agree. And also, how good is it once you do weight training and you realize, because you have to slow it down with weight training, you have to actually be conscious. Whereas like, say, with group fitness and things, you can not even notice that you're in the room. You can do everything and it's like you can do a whole hour and you don't even know what's just happened. Whereas with this, you have to slow down, be conscious of each body part, be present with it. So it's completely different connecting with your body in that way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I honestly thought, Nick, that I had to cane myself. I had to work at sort of 80% max effort for an hour in order to get lean or to get fit. So to know that I didn't actually have to do that anymore is quite liberating.
Yeah, it's like the secret that I keep trying to scream at everybody, but nobody wants to know. But as soon as you actually open the door to that secret, you go, oh, my God, okay. Changing everything and then eventually you can eat a bit more and it's like, whoa, this is like, what is this? And it's like, someone should sell this. And it's like, oh, yeah, it's weight training. Somebody could invent something anyway. So apart from obviously the revelations of everything, what would you say has been the biggest change in your life since doing the challenge?
I think that I got my life and my health back. Mm-hmm. And I'm so proud of myself for rescuing myself. I've gotten my physical health back, which actually has an incredible flow-on effect to how I perform in the workplace. I'm mentally and physically fitter. And I think that's important when you've got a busy lifestyle that you've got to maintain your physical health in order to be able to perform at your best. So there's this circular positivity about getting my life and my health back. But not only that, I think I've actually enhanced my life. I've got this newfound quiet confidence in my ability to achieve stuff, achieve things. I know that a lot of women feel this, but despite all of my achievements on paper, I've suffered with imposter syndrome for a lot of my life.
100%. You know, I keep thinking I'm going to get found out, and it's like,
Yeah, exactly. So I've just lived with that heaviness for such a long time, but you can't hide in this program.
No.
You know, you kind of get to bear it all. I took the emotion out of it. I followed the numbers just like Coach Steve said, just crunch the numbers consistently every day. And I got the results. And that just has given me this incredible confidence that flows into my workplace, into my patient care, just my ability to give really confident advice and care to my patients, my relationships with my hubby, my kids, and also in actually now dealing with my mum's recovery from cancer, you know, dealing with it in a much, in a way that has greater grace and flow about it.
Gosh, that's phenomenal. All of that is, that's like ridiculous, really. That's amazing. Because think of, with my whole pay it forward philosophy, you've just named about 10 different facets of life where you're just oozing out all your new information and confidence, helping everybody. Next, you'll be telling me, you know, it's the people at the supermarket that you're helping. I can just feel it. You know what I mean? Like, I love that.
You see it. You see it. And I kind of in the beginning on the Facebook groups, I was like, oh my God, like, there's all these people just giving.
They must be getting
some kickback. Maybe they're getting product on the side for this, or, and then when you've gone through the process and you're excited about what you've achieved and you see these other new people going in, it's like you just want to impart that to them.
Yeah.
And I'll admit I did that 12-week challenge by myself. I was not part of any mentorship group. I didn't use a trainer. It was really like, what can you achieve tomorrow in this 84 days? What can you do? Let's just see how far you can push yourself by yourself and what you can learn. But now I'm just like, I'm all in. I'm like, yep, I want a mentor and I want to learn off other people. And what can I give to you? What things do I have that I've learned and experiences that I've had that I can share with others? And this is the ultimate servant-hearted community. It's awesome.
I love that. So are you going to stay involved with new challenges and maybe be a mentor?
Oh, let's not push it that far, but I can definitely tell you that I have tapped into that whole community right now. And I believe, like, I was not one to post a lot on the Facebook group because I just didn't think I had anything valuable to say. And then I clicked at the end and I went, hang on a sec. If others hadn't posted, then I wouldn't have gotten inspired.
That's right.
So if I don't post, then who knows who will miss out on an opportunity to tap into something that resonates. So
you're so right. I mean, like in the lockdown, I've sometimes thought, who wants to see pictures of me training in my shed? And then it's like when I put them up, people are like,
oh, wow.
You know what I mean? And that's the thing.
Yeah.
We've all got to just contribute to whatever we're doing at the time and just own it and think about how somebody might be inspired just to get up and walk from seeing that, or go, oh, wow, that's amazing. I might pick up a weight that's in my house and give it a go, or that kind of a thing. So it's about just keeping it going. And yeah, we think that no one wants to see what we're eating or what we're doing, but people do. And it's better than
definitely
watching, say, like a Kardashian and what they're doing. Mm-hmm. It's real life, and it's a lot of mums and a lot of women that come just for help about meal planning and about structuring their day and all sorts of stuff. So yeah, just keep saying anything you want to say because people look up to you now. So and speaking of that, what advice would you give any other challenges? Like, what's your sort of couple of sentences of advice from Tamara?
So I always do things in fives, right? And I had to think about this beforehand because I think this is really important. So I've got five things to share.
Perfect.
The first thing is that comparison is the thief of joy. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. Please don't compare your chapter one to my chapter 20. And I did find myself on occasion just slipping into that, oh, I can't possibly do what they do. But particularly with me, for example, like this is not my first rodeo. I've been involved in the health and fitness industry for a really long time. I've done triathlons. I've swum to Rottnest. I've done that. I've run half marathons. So I've kind of got a little bit of training and understanding. So never compare yourself to somebody else's chapter 20. And the moment that you do that, you put them on the pedestal and you put yourself in the pit. And that's hard to get out of. So just run your own race. You've got your own knowledge, your own experiences, your own life. Just run your own race and glean advice and solutions and ideas from people's other experiences.
Mm.
The second one for me would be success always leaves clues. And I think I've had this philosophy most of my life, is that if you want to be successful at anything, you just got to follow the people that already are.
Mm.
And you guys supply incredible amount of resources. You've got the Facebook groups, you've got the forums, you've got the podcast. Every day I drove to work, I was listening to somebody's inspirational story.
Mm.
And I would just lean into that all the time.
Mm.
The third thing, be teachable. You've got to be teachable in this space. And I think my one thing that I do pat myself on the back of here is I actually opened myself up to being completely teachable. It didn't mean that I meant I took on everything as gospel, but every day was a learning. And every moment that you think you've failed in this journey, you might have fallen off the wagon with your food or missed a training session, it's just another opportunity to learn.
Yeah.
And so if we're always learning all the time, then we're always moving forward.
Mm.
I think there have been moments where I did fall into overwhelm, and I've seen others say the same thing. Oh, I'm so overwhelmed. There's so much to learn about nutrition and supplements. But just understand that, how do you eat an elephant? One bite at a time.
Mm.
Like, it's a journey of literally thousands of steps, but you actually have to just put one foot in front of the other to move forward. So it's just about being consistent every day. And I suppose my last one, my number five, and I've left this one till last because it really was the thing that got me out of bed every morning, that made me stick to the food plan. And that is, choose your hard.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everybody has hardness to their life. We all say, oh, this is hard. It's hard to get out of bed. It's hard to stick to a certain amount of calories a day. It's hard to get my 10,000 steps. But you get to choose your hard. You know, there's people out there in the world doing it tough right now, from a health perspective, from a financial perspective. And every morning when I went to the gym and I didn't want to lift another weight or I didn't want to do another set, I actually just pictured my mum going through her chemo and recovering from her cancer. And I was like, Tamara, that is hard. What you're doing right now is not hard. So just choose your hard.
Oh, that's amazing. Oh my gosh. Well, we've got the title of the podcast now. We've got Tamara's Five Rules for Success. That's the end of that.
Mic drop.
Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate it. I've learned so much from you. I love your wisdom and, you know, keep kicking ass. You're a sensational human being.
Thanks. I'm loving this new 6-week challenge, I've got to say. I've been really excited by this.
Yeah, it's pretty cool. It's already nearly
nearly
week two, so it's flying by.
I know.
All right. Thank you so much.
No worries.
Thanks for listening, guys. If you like the show, share it with a friend or leave us a review on iTunes to help us spread the good word.
See you next time.